meeting every need. Those who have too little need to be subsidized by those who have too much. Jesus extended divine assistance to two people in this passage today. And I'd like to highlight this from the Good News Translation. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." In today's gospel reading, the lives of two people intersect. One apparently from seems to be maybe from a little more of the upper echelon, another from more perhaps the lower echelons of society. It doesn't really say that, so I'm not really sure why I get that feeling, as you know, as we read, but just the way that they're presented, it kind of makes me feel that way. And that both of them, though, were needing divine assistance with the health care issues that confronted them. The one, his daughter perishing, and the other who had this chronic illness, and both of them just in terrible situations, and money couldn't fix it, and nobody that had any know-how was able to help them, and that's when they turned to Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated that meeting the needs of people is not just something that he is willing and able to do, but something that he expects us to follow his example in addressing those needs. And he, over and over, he helped people. And over, he empowered and called us and invited us and challenges us to do likewise, to follow and do as he does. And so we try to help each other. Everybody, you know, we try to help each other individually, sacramentally in the laying on of hands and in prayers that we lift up, and practically in our prayer and our advocacy and participation and support for aid programs and for the people who are able to minister health and wholeness and other forms of support to people in need in whatever their needs may be. And collectively we do this too through the church and through the government and through nonprofit organizations. And then just from friends helping each other and helping friends helping friends. And we do it collaboratively. We help people by getting together and cooperating and combining with other people and groups to work together to find ways to help people and to meet the needs, whatever they may be. God can help even when no one else can. And the psalmist said, "Oh Lord, from the depths of despair I cry for your help." And we have that hymn, "Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go?" Seeking a refuge for my soul. And that, so there are some things that just nobody can help with. The doctors might not know how to make anybody any better. No amount of money can fix a problem, or if it could, they don't have the money. There's all kinds of issues that we have that we just kind of come to the end of the rope on, and we don't know what to do. We turn to the Lord, and we know that the Lord is there and can help us when no one else can. And one of the greatest prayers, and I'd say maybe one of the most frequent prayers that I have, is just simply, "Lord, help me." And when Peter walked on the water, he began to sink because his faith wasn't any better than the rest of ours, I guess, in that regard, or big enough. But anyway, and he began to sink in the waves, and he just cried out, "Lord, help me." And so how many times have we cried that out? And that's a pretty primal prayer, I think, for everyone. But God is always present, so that's always good. We can always cry out to God because God is always present and always ready to help us. In the reading from Lamentations, it has this verse, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so that call brings together the hymn, brings to mind the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And another hymn, just when I need him most, Jesus is there to comfort and care just when I need him most. And Jesus' prayer in the garden, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, invites us to trust God's decisions on how our prayers will be answered. We present ourselves to God ready to be God's answer to someone else's prayer. And we just never know how our prayers will be answered, and oftentimes they're answered in ways that were not what we were really picturing or hoping for. But we do place that in God's hands and trust him and try to find the, we can't really find the reason, but we can maybe find the blessing that is involved in the way that he is answering our prayers, and try to make the most of that, and know that he is still working on things, and there's a lot to come together for us. But God is there, and God is always present with us. And maybe the biggest thing about that, really, about his mercies and his compassion, is that he's always there. He's always wherever we are, caring about us, and as close as our own breath. And God challenges us to be fair and equitable in our sharing of human resources with the people around us. Scripture says, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. That was a quotation in today's epistle reading from St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but it comes from back when the children of Israel were traveling through the desert in the Exodus, and they didn't have any food, and so then the Lord provided food, manna, and he added some quail in a little bit along the way too, but the manna is the big thing that we always remember, especially at communion and all like that too. We think of the manna, that bread from heaven, and that was provided. But the way it was provided was on a daily basis. So as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, on a daily basis this food was provided, and everybody could go out and gather up what they could and put it in a little jar and bring it. And there was always enough for one day, except for on Friday they gathered enough for the next day too, so they wouldn't have to go gather on the Sabbath. So that every day for 40 years they gathered this bread up every day except on the Sabbath day when they ate what they had gathered on Friday. And so the deal was, though, that everybody went out and gathered, some gathered a little more and some a little less, but nobody gathered too much, and everybody gathered enough. And so, yeah, I think in our prayer life and in our giving and our sharing and our work for assisting people and assisting each other in everything that we do, then we try to be fair and be equitable. And I think that this Bible kind of beer readings for today speak to that. We have the hymn, Send the Light, and I drove Cheryl nuts one time singing that over and over, I guess. I thought she was enjoying it, but I misinterpreted the face she was making, I guess. But I was singing, Send the Light, and when we have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light. And let us not grow weary in the work of love, send the light, send the light. And it's a beautiful hymn, but we not only turn people over to the Lord when we pray for them, but then we work together to find ways to address the inequities of society, and a lot of that is way beyond our capabilities, individuals, or even us together here today as a group, or even our whole congregation, or our whole denomination. Really, some of these issues in society are bigger than any of us or all of us. But what we try to do is to share the abundance of creation fairly. And that's what God has offered in Christ. In John 10, Jesus was talking about how he was the good shepherd, and he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have a good life, and wants us to have the fullness of life. And sometimes we don't even really know exactly what that means, but he wants us to have it. God knows what it means, and he wants us to have it. In terms of the sharing with the poverty, you know, we have the poverty line, and I looked up on the ATD Fourth World Report that in 2018, the federal poverty line was $12,140 for an individual, and then it has more for a family of two and more for a family of three, and up to $25,100 for a family of four. And so we have that poverty line where we can kind of identify those who are not who gather but are not hardly gathering enough. They're somewhere in that, along that range there. There might be there can extenuating circumstances that make it even more, you know, for those that might need a little more and a little less than that. But that comes into about where the poverty line is. But the riches line is as yet undefined, and that comes up quite a bit. It's been coming up a lot lately too, as not knowing exactly what's the other end of the scripture's talking about, that the one who gathered much did not have too much. I don't know what too much is. Nobody seems to feel like they have too much. But I think that, the biblical and political systems have always tried to address in part the concept that those with the least should be assisted by those with the most, without causing them or anybody else harm to anybody in between in the transactions, that somehow we pray for and we advocate systems that make sure everybody has a fair and equitable distribution of the resources of the world. And all our systems, though, always seem to be a little bit perforated with loopholes that still leave some lavishing in wealth and others languishing in poverty. So there are some thoughts there about meeting the needs and how Jesus, we look at how Jesus did, how Christ led his disciples to pray for people and to help where they could and to work together with other people to make decisions and with our whole social structures and everything like that, to do what we can to see what the needs are of people and meet their needs. And there are a lot of needs in the world today that we lift up in our prayer line, a lot of times more the personal needs, but also the needs of communities and groups of people. And so really, you know, if we want to, we could say, you've got this. Because in another part of the gospel reading today, Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. And he was saying that in a pretty scary situation. You know, a person's daughter had died, and he was encouraging them not to be afraid, but to believe. And there's a hymn about that. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. And even in the most difficult challenges can be at least addressed and sometimes overcome by those who are willing to believe what Jesus said in Luke 1:37. It's in the New King James Version. For God, nothing will be impossible. So in our readings today, I think they challenge us by broadening our whole idea of looking at all the different kinds of needs that people have, whether they're spiritual or material, whether they're health or financial or all the other needs that people have, they're an unending list. And the challenges that we face that are so often bigger than what anybody can do. But as God's people of faith who believe in God and believe in trust God and believe in his, not only his ability, but his willingness, God's willingness to help people, that we can be a part of that cause that he has to bring abundant life, to make people's lives better. and we can believe that what we do is a part of the many possibilities that God works through. Amen.